Welcome to the latest edition of Talking Home Care, a podcast of the Home Care Alliance of Massachusetts. On this issue of the podcast, I'm pleased to welcome Tim Rowan. Tim is editor of the Home Care Technology Report, as well as a consultant to organizations on technology selection. Tim's a frequent speaker on these subjects at state and national conventions. So welcome to Talking Home Care, Tim, as we touch on all things tech in home care operations, analytics, and caregiving. Let's get started. In terms of technology and society at large, it seems almost trite for me to say that the future is approaching faster than we thought. And that's certainly true in our industry, where it feels to me two things are converging. The realization that people's homes may in fact be the center of the U.S. healthcare system in the near future, and the stampede of innovators looking to bring new technology solutions into the healthcare at home sector. How do you see and react to that?
Well, I have to agree. It's true that the home is going to be the first choice. We've been saying that for a long time. I've been saying for years that if people want to stay at home when they need care, let them find a way to make that happen. So now the two things that are happening is there aren't enough beds for all of us baby boomers in hospitals and nursing homes. Yes, they are building more and more hospitals and nursing homes, but you can only stay there for 2 or 3 days in the hospital and a couple of weeks in the skilled nursing facility. So as the population ages, you're going to have more patients than you have clinicians to take care of them. So you're going to see clinicians relying more and more on checking in on the patients electronically in one way or another, setting up care plans with reminders, electronic reminders, and you're going to see them actually face-to-face with the patient less often. But the way the technology is moving today, that is not going to damage the quality of care and the patient outcomes. Some of the technologies we'll be talking about are going to make it possible for the clinicians, nurses and therapists and the non-medical personnel to be in their presence less often and providing the kind of care that can only be done in person, but they'll be able to check in on them in various ways every day.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, and particularly thinking if you're a home health agency today, obviously you are positioning yourself for this new healthcare at home reemergence. But in order for an agency to compete, it feels like they are going to have some technology. You were just talking about technology in caregiving. What other technologies do you think that every home health agency's business strategy needs to embrace?
Well, you can't continue this discussion without at least mentioning what's going on the political side. And right now, the way things look, it's going to be a long time before there's any substantial change. As we're speaking today, people should be all healthcare providers of all types should be planning for the Affordable Care Act to be the law of the land for at least 2 years, perhaps longer. And so you plan around developing relationships with accountable care organizations, hospitals, and other groups of doctors. What are they going to be looking for? They might choose 10% of the home health providers in their region to be their partners, maybe less. I've heard it's closer to 3 or 4% in places where the ACOs are active. So the question is, where do you have to position yourself to be attractive for those partnerships? Because they're going to be critical to survival. And one of those is the primary one is the ability to exchange data. The buzzword is interoperability. You have to be able to exchange patient data with ACOs and hospitals, or they won't even consider you. And then they're going to look at your home health compare scores. They're going to look at your quality outcomes, your patient satisfaction, and they will find another reason not to use you. They have the luxury of being able to take the cream of the cream, and they will skim the best providers off the top. So technology is going to help you to have better patient outcomes. Technology is going to help you to be more efficient in the back office. And then some of the other technologies that I'd like to mentioned are going to help you with predictive analytics and, once again, making sure you're in touch with every patient every day.
Well, certainly when I talk to our home health agents, I often say that they have to begin to have an ability to use data as language and know their data down to the practice, hospital, diagnosis, and even patient type level. And you mentioned data analytics. It seems that what our partners want to see in us is an ability to use those data analytics to not only show what we can accomplish, but to show how we're going to be able to target strategies, healthcare intervention strategies to specific patients based on historical analytics of how those patients have performed at home in the past. Have I got that right?
Yeah. And there are a number of companies that are emerging today that are going to help your association members to do exactly that. One of the popular software companies, the EMR companies, Kinzer, has added a data analytics. I prefer to call it predictive analytics. You assume that it's data, the predictive analytics software. And they've done that in response to a company called Medalogix that is doing the same kind of thing on a much broader scale. They have a giant database that they are using to predict precisely, for example, when is it time to have the conversation with the patient and family about moving from home health to hospice? And the accuracy is incredible. You're also going to be able to see the changes that are coming in talking to these potential partners with an intimate knowledge of your specific data. So, for example, if you're sitting down with a hospital and making the argument, this is why you should partner with us, you're going to be able to lay on the table for them, if you have the right predictive analytics software, not just the quality of your patient outcomes, not just your visits per episode ratio and patient satisfaction. You're going to be able to tell them, here is what we have done with your patients from your hospital over the past 12 months that have had both CHF and diabetes. And then you're going to be able to say, here's what we've done with your knee replacement patients that also have COPD, specifically discharged from your hospital. It's that kind of granularity that is going to set a home health agency apart from the competition.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that what you're talking about with those products is sort of, you know, looking at outcomes achieved sort of retrospectively for your client base. But I understand there are also software products that people or home health agencies are using to put their current patients through to see, in fact, if their care plan is optimal for patients who present like this in the larger database. So using the software in real time as a partner in devising a care plan. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, you are. And that's the other face of predictive analytics that some of the really interesting startup companies are experimenting with today. I think, Pat, I've talked to you before about a company called ClinLogica that's right there in the Boston area that is doing that to make sure that this individual patient is compared with several million other patients to find identifiable trends that are likely to predict this patient's outcomes and to predict the particular type of intervention that will be most effective. Now, I know some people will say that this is setting up treatment plans aimed at the mean. You treat the average patient and all of the unique ones kind of fall by the wayside. But because of the use of what's called today big data, the accuracy can be customized to an individual patient. So you have someone that's different from most. If you use a large enough database, you can still find tens of thousands, if not millions, of patients that have been exactly like that patient. And you can see the interventions that have been effective and ineffective for this kind of patient in the past. And the care plan can be built. You know, we talk about evidence-based medicine. Well, think about it. If the evidence is millions of people, it's going to be more and more and more accurate all the time.
It's almost like the analogy is the not too near future when IBM's Watson may be helping physicians to actually diagnose by running the same type of analytics for a patient to establish a diagnosis. Let's talk about, again, technology on the care delivery side. You know, you had mentioned using technology to use our nursing resources and to monitor our patients in a way that allow us to maximize our human resources, our people, our nurses, and our aides. I just saw a demo online of a virtual physical therapist, something I thought was far too into the future, where they would recommend, observe through a Skype type setup, and recommend changes to a physical therapy regime all online, talking through computers and visual screens. Do you think home care can embrace and be a leader in usage of these new and emerging technologies that even go beyond remote monitoring of blood pressure, weight, to actually embrace and be a leader in bringing these into the home?
Not only can, but should. Going back to the original premise that there are way too many of us aging baby boomers for the number of nurses coming out of nursing school. Something has to be done so that the influence of the care plan is a daily event, even though the nurse visit isn't a daily event. So I saw that same demo. In fact, I think I saw it done live, if I remember correctly, from a stage where they showed the smartphone or the tablet guiding the person through exercises. But but there's a camera, and so the app is actually watching the person say, no, and the app can say, no, you didn't do that right, try it again. Something like that with a live PT visit in the middle, I think would be tremendously beneficial. I saw another one just this past year that is designed to take photos of wounds. Now, you know what the handicap is when you try to do that. If someone, what do you call them? The WCN, the wound expert nurse, is often
certified wound nurse.
Right, the certified. That if they're off in a different city and they are trying to be helpful, because you know there's not enough of them around to have one everywhere. Mm-hmm. So if they're trying to be helpful by using digital photographs, what they're going to want is that every single progressive photograph, every time the nurse goes to the home, is the exact same lighting, the exact same distance, the exact same angle. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to accurately assess. So what I saw is leading up to is a technology that the patient can actually use to take a photo of the wound every day. The nurse takes the first one, and the app creates a faint imprint of the wound and maybe a little bit more of the arm or leg or whatever it is on the computer screen, on the smartphone screen. So then the next picture can be lined up, can be matched precisely with the distance and the lighting and the angle, so that every picture gives a much more accurate view to the certified wound expert who may be at a distance. Those kinds of things, those kinds of things mean that care can happen daily, therapy can happen daily, interventions can happen daily, even if the clinician isn't there daily.
That's amazing. In a future that, you know, as the baby boom generations, as we age, I think we will be much more comfortable with the idea of communicating that way with our care team. Back to the idea of what we call telehealth or remote monitoring that has been in use in home care for at least a decade. Is that evolving anywhere? Are we kind of in the same place we were 5 years ago with using those technologies, again, as I said, for cardiac blood pressure? Are we seeing it evolve in any way around self-management of patients into the behavioral health space? Is remote monitoring the next generation here yet?
I think the idea of gathering vital signs and perhaps communicating reminders to the patient and asking questions about how they're feeling, and like the interactive ones do, I think that is approaching the level where it's becoming a commodity. You've got several tech vendors that are providing these excellent machines that that either through wired connections or Bluetooth connections can gather the vital signs and communicate with the patient. Because it looks like we've given up on ever seeing reimbursement for those from Medicare, you see what's happening is that the large agencies that maybe have a little bit more financial capacity are almost all using them. The latest research that I've seen, I think it's 80-85% of the large agencies are using them. But the overall average throughout all of certified Medicare home health is 29%. So that means that when you get outside of the super large providers, what brings the average down to 29 are the ones that are smaller and not using it, and maybe 2-5% of those. So there needs to be an affordable alternative. And I think that what's happening is the technology is evolving in the direction of affordability. That might mean scaling down the capabilities of the devices that a smaller home health agency might be able to afford. However, that might not be too much of a disadvantage. I've seen research also that indicates that any kind of daily contact can give you 80, 90, 95% of the value of the full expensive daily vital signs gathering. In other words, a couple of startup companies have technology that telephones the customer, the patient, the client every day, asks a few customized questions, and sends back a report. And even though that might not be as sophisticated as traditional home telehealth, it gives a tremendous amount of benefit. And some of the companies that are doing this are seeing their hospital readmission rate down into single digits.
It's amazing, you know, that you say that because we seem to see that, you know, agency to agency. Is there enough sort of peer-reviewed, evidence-based technology to support, you know, this type of remote monitoring? And if so, why don't we see other insurers maybe embracing it, even if the Medicare program hasn't been?
I think you see it. A lot of providers have been approaching the payers, the private, non-governmental payers. And the sales pitch usually goes like this. You have 2,000 lives that you're covering in my neighborhood. Give us $10 a month for each one of them, and don't worry about, I made that number up. Maybe it should be 100. I don't know, but don't quote me on that. Give us a flat fee per covered life, and we will keep them out of the hospital. You don't worry about how we're doing it. You don't worry about how much we're spending. You don't worry about if we're using a $3,000 home telehealth system or if we're just calling them on the phone every day. All you care about is you discharge them from the hospital to us. They're not going back. And if they do, you don't pay us for them during the time that they are in the hospital or whatever the arrangement might be. And the insurance companies, of course, will say, sure, we can do that. We'd rather pay you a buck and a half per life. And the answer to that has been, listen, We're saving you millions of dollars, but you got to take the handcuffs off. You can't be telling us how many visits. You can't be telling us how much to spend. You can't be telling us we have to use an LVN instead of an RN. You have to let us figure out the care plan. And all you have to worry about is the millions of dollars we're saving you. But you got to pay us enough per visit or per patient, whatever it is, to survive. And little by little, the insurance companies are coming around. They're starting to understand the value of remote patient monitoring, and they're starting to understand the value of not bugging the home health agency too much about how they keep people out of the hospital.
Well, I think that's a tremendously optimistic and hopefully near into the future view of where the entire healthcare at home industry is going. I think, you know, the challenge for us is to help our home health agencies to work those numbers, to create those risk-based contracts, and to figure out how to make it work, which probably could be a great subject for a future podcast. Thank you so much, Tim, for joining us today. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, Tim Rowan is the editor of Home Care Technology Report. You can subscribe to Home Care Technology Report for free in two ways. You can text Home Care Tech to 22828 from your cell phone, or you can go to http://homecaretechreport.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you again, Tim, for joining us today on the Talking Home Care podcast.
Thanks a lot, Pat. It's been a pleasure. Call me anytime.